This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8 o'clock hours, we forge ahead here on your home of the Texas Rangers. In case you did not know, I'm Sean Treife alongside RJ Choppy, and we have our Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Bell along with Peyton and Aiden in the back. We're live on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube. Thank you for sticking with us no matter what and however you consume the program as baseball season is getting closer and closer. Nate Eovaldi is going to be the opening day starter, trying to save Jacob DeGrom with some days off here and there. How will the injury situation to the staff affect that? Well, here is Bobby Belt with Jacob DeGrom trying to reinvent and save himself.
Yeah, this is an article from Jeff Passan over at ESPN. This was a lengthy overview of just Jacob DeGrom's path and now how he's, like you mentioned, kind of shifting his mindset and changing things. So early on in DeGrom's career, it was about the dominance, and now it's shifting more towards longevity. So the opening line here talks about that when DeGrom stepped up to the mound for his first live batting practice this spring, he said a voice in his head told him, "All right, I want to strike everybody out." And then, because that was the instinct that it guided Jacob DeGrom throughout his entire career, and he said he had to remind himself, let's not do that. That basically, that with all the injuries he's faced, he's got to be a little bit more smart on it.
This is the Iverson, Ja Morant. Well, I don't know whether Iverson changed that much, but Ja Morant's like, I'm not going to dunk as much. Yeah. I'm not going to go up and try to create the highlight reel because my body takes more punishment.
So from 2018 to mid-2021, DeGrom's run was unprecedented. So it was the combination of velocity, command, swing and miss stuff. And in the article, they compare it to it's Nolan Ryan's fastball, Steve Carlton's slider, Greg Maddux's precision. He was just unreal. And during this time, his velocity shot up as a pitcher. So in 2018, when he won the Cy Young, because we all think of DeGrom as being a 100-mile-per-hour fastball guy, what do you think his average fastball velocity was the year he won the Cy Young in 2018?
I would guess the average fastball was 97.8.
101.
96 flat.
Wow.
He was pitching. He was throwing fastballs 96. 2019, he was up to 97. 2020, 98.6. 2021, 99.2. And so this level of this emphasis on just velocity and throwing as hard as you can, it obviously came at a cost. And his body wasn't able to withstand the constant max effort approach.
And you couple that with reduction in the sticky stuff, which has forced pitchers to grip the ball a little bit harder. Because, you know, the baseballs they use are, I mean, those are so slick. And it was your boy, Glasnow, who talked about how his first start without the sticky stuff, he was sore in spots he never even knew he had. And the next start after that, ruptured, Tommy John.
So now he's 36.
By the way, my nephew, Nick, Tindy Hands.
Yeah.
Just found out Tommy John was a real guy that's, like, still alive. I thought he pitched in, like, the 20s.
I bet Peyton didn't know that. I bet Peyton thought that was just a surgery. Now that he's 36, DeGrom understands pitchers don't typically return from third Tommy John surgeries, and he knows what's at stake. He says nobody's returned to have any sort of substantive career after a third Tommy John. Rather than reinvent himself, DeGrom is focusing on evolving his approach, studying old footage, and making mechanical tweaks to try and reduce the stress on his arm. And they talk about just in general why Texas took the risk. They said, you know, they mentioned that despite the injury history, Texas obviously threw a bunch of money at him. And Chris Young said someone who could sit 99 miles per hour with 248 strikeouts against 19 walks and 156 innings like DeGrom did in 21-22 and make it look easy is one of a kind. After his surgery, they say that DeGrom actually had to reteach himself how to throw a baseball. He was under the watchful eye of the Texas training staff and team doctor Keith Meister, a renowned Tommy John surgeon. Beyond the physical aspect, DeGrom also had to rethink his in-game strategy. He said, I have to look at it like, hey, I can pitch at that velocity, that 100-mile-per-hour velocity, I can pitch at the 96-mile-per-hour velocity where it's a lot less stress on your body. You get out there, you're throwing pitches at 100 miles an hour for however many pitches it is. It's a lot of stress. So within the article, Passan talks about how his goal now is going to be to use the velocity strategically rather than all the time.
Yeah.
You know, when you see the late inning reliever shift to a starting pitcher. I remember this happened with CJ Wilson. CJ Wilson used to, his fastball would crank up to 96, 97 when he was a setup guy. And then when he became a starting pitcher, it was 91, 92. And when he needed to dial it up to 94, he would. And that's going to be a big part of what DeGrom's doing now, is just kind of measuring himself now that he's gone back to the lab, figured out, all right, what were some of the things, the tried and true things that I did early on mechanically that I can replicate a little bit and not stress my arm out as much. It mentions that unlike previous years where he might have rushed back to prove things, DeGrom took his time here. His main goal last year was simple. It was just he wanted to make as many starts as he could. And that meant throwing live batting practice sessions longer than his teammates to build endurance gradually. And they're going to keep an eye on his workload now. And so Passan says
good idea.
Yeah, the Rangers aren't putting an official innings limit on him. That's something that Jared Sandler told us. There's not going to be an actual number on it. But they're going to be monitoring all the peripherals and all the different statistics. Instead of focusing only on pitch counts, DeGrom says he's going to be mindful of how stressful his innings are. He says you have those games where you go five innings, you have 75 pitches, but you've got runners all over the place. So those are stressful. Whereas you cruise and you end up throwing 100 pitches and you had one or two runners, it's like, okay, those don't seem to be as stressful. So it's not as black and white as just 100 pitches is worse than 75. To DeGrom, it's like when I'm in those high stress situations and there are people on base and I've got to work out of those jams and I'm going to be, you know, leveling up the fastball velocity or whatever else, that's going to be a stressful thing.
Yeah, it's not the total pitch count. Pitchers are like, Smoltz has always talked about this, and you know, McCarver before him, those stress innings, those stress pitches, you know, when you're in trouble, you know, when you have jams, and you know, they've always talked about this on basically every broadcast you've heard, that those are always bigger and more important and more stressful on the arm, despite the fact that you might not have the same pitch count total.
So we talked about how, looking at his numbers, when he came back at the end of last year, his fastball velocity was down. And this is the first time where it's kind of been laid out as like, hey, this is an intentional approach. This isn't I'm losing it, or, you know, this is a post-surgery issue that my arm just can't get up to the same point. This is we're trying to level things off a little bit and not jeopardize my arm again. So in his first start against the Royals in spring training, the fastball was averaging around 97, which was about 2 miles per hour lower than where it was when he first pitched with the Rangers in 23, topped out at 98. The slider is around his usual 90 miles per hour. He was mixing in some curveballs, showing some different things with speed and location. He struck out three batters on 31 pitches, including Bobby Witt Jr. And in his final batter, Tyler Gentry, DeGrom went through his entire sequencing. He started with a slider well off the plate for a swing and miss, followed with another slider just outside that Gentry took for a ball. Then after a curveball was called a strike, he painted a 97-mile-per-hour fastball at the top of the zone, freezing Gentry for a strikeout. He said, this is the art of pitching, of weighing the count, what a hitter has seen, how to take advantage of an umpire's zone. So the big part for him now is just going to be not focusing nearly as much on the power aspect and the toxic masculinity of pitching chop.
Right.
That what it is he's focusing more on, okay, what is efficient for my arm? What do I need to use? I don't need to throw the whole barrel. What do I just need to use to be capable and to have my precision while still not stressing and taxing my arm like this?
We buying that this will help a ton?
Reduction in velocity, I think, would help. Actually, might help quite a bit. I think that the emphasis on going as hard as you possibly can for as long as you possibly can does create more torque, obviously, and then more arm injuries. And if you were cool with just throwing 90 or 92, because, you know, your muscles can grow, your ligaments and tendons don't necessarily grow, you know, like it just doesn't happen yet. And I think that does put a lot of emphasis and a lot of stress on the arm. And that's a major reason why there are so many pitchers getting Tommy John.
It's really difficult because on the one hand, you listen to all that and you go, okay, he's clearly putting a ton of research and there's a bunch of sports science behind it, and they've thought clearly about every single meticulous detail. So that makes you think, all right, he's going to have every bit of information in front of him. If it's going to work out, they've got a solid plan on how to make sure it does that. But also at the same time, it's like, if you have to work that hard just to make sure throwing a ball doesn't rip your arm to shreds,
yeah,
I'm a little concerned.
So if I set the over-under starts for DeGrom at 25...
I'll go under.
Oh, I'll take the under.
20?
I'll take the under.
I think he's going to make around there. My guess is he makes around 20 to 24 starts.
And then, again, yesterday Sandler told us and set the scene. It was a cool video that Jared got in surprise with your home of the Rangers, the Guardians lining up to watch DeGrom pitch. I was trying to think to myself, what are like the top two things that you would want to go and stare at when DeGrom is throwing? Because it's a very simple delivery. You know, he doesn't have your Clayton Kershaw curveball. Are you? What do you think you're going? You know, let's go watch him throw.
Probably routine.
What do you think of the top two things that are jumping out? Are you looking for a fastball explosion and then what?
I don't think they're looking at necessarily how the pitch, anything to do with the bit. I think they're going to look at routine. You know, if you go to watch Tiger Woods in his prime, you know, at a golf tournament, like you would see
like his latest one,
you would see guys just around him at the driving range. They wouldn't be watching him hit golf balls. They all hit golf balls the same. They'd be watching his routine between shots. What's he do? Like all the process of it. I think that's probably what they're doing.
Yeah, probably just seeing mechanically, how does he, you know, what's he doing there? How's he approaching his work? In general, it may just be a thing of like, this is one of the greats. I just want to stand here and watch him a little bit. I mean, I do think there's probably something for those guys when they see him throw the slider. Like when they see the bite on the slider, that's probably just, whoa, that's an impressive pitch.
All right, Chop, give us some more Diamond Cavs.
All right. So we just had the Dodgers game on, and the Dodgers do wind up winning this game. They won the first game of the Major League Baseball season 4-1 over the Cubs. They'll play tomorrow morning at 5:10 a.m. again. But Mookie Betts was not in this game. Mookie has flown back to the U.S. He's been very sick. He's lost 15 pounds.
Whoa.
They don't know what's going on. It's a mystery illness. They say he's not contagious.
Got that Tracy Morgan.
Yeah. They say he's not contagious, but they have sent him back home. That's very scary. Like, there's a realistic chance that he's not ready for the opening day, the real opening day, on next Thursday. So they don't really know what's going on with Mookie, but they sent him home. Like I said, he's not there in Tokyo anymore, and he's dropped 15 pounds.
Is this, is it just like, do they have any details on it? Like, is he having a respiratory thing? Because like this, we recently had the issue with Porzingis where they didn't know what was wrong with Porzingis, and he was out for weeks.
He was out there like practicing, and all of a sudden he just became super fatigued and like out of breath. And they keep talking about him losing all this weight.
That's scary.
Yeah, it is. It is very,
that's another
very
thing.
Scary.
Going back to Ask Reddit, what would you teach a male? Like, so much is luck of the draw, health wise. So much of it is a random lottery. Luck.
Shohei went 2-for-5 at the plate, double to lead off the ninth, eventually scoring another run. And then, real quick, did you see who Mitch Voit is? Did you see this? The Michigan player?
No.
This is the most.
Don't draft him, Cowboys.
This is he's a baseball player.
Oh.
He gets a triple and he fake snorts the third baseline. It's an amazing celebration.
My oh my God.
Oh, jeez.
Well, look at Reitman back there.
Reitman over here.
Oh, Reitman's probably.
Oh, because he's Michigan.
Yeah, I thought he was a cokehead. I thought he was rooting for the cocaine.
This guy is such.
That's how Reitman's working at 2 a.m. every day.
You know how many of these I'm going to see this summer? Youth baseball?
I think they're going to have to send a letter down.
I would think so.
The NCAA is going to have to step in. That is amazing. Next time, send that to Aiden on the fan cam.
Greatest Selly I've ever seen.
Selly. God, RJ, why do you have to ruin it?
What?
You have to ruin it.
Greatest Selly.
It was so good until then.
You're a 45-year-old man. 877-881-1053. Franklin Franco, injury attorney, text line. And speaking of phone numbers, there is now a Dallas Mavericks hotline that you can call for help, and Anthony Davis is actually coming back to help? Why? Next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
Luka one way, then the other. Inside out and another wide open three.
Boy, he's finding open people, and tonight, open people are making shots.
Well, good thing that the rest of the team was, because Luka was not. He shoots 5 of 20 from the field. Fortunately for the Lakers, they were taking on the Mavs-like San Antonio Spurs with Wemby gone, De'Aaron Fox gone, and Greg Popovich gone. The Lakers end up getting the W without LeBron. Luka does it in the assist category with 14 dimes on the night. He had 21, 14, and 9. 1 of 7 from 3, and again, 5 of 20 from the field. Sean, RJ, and Bobby here on DFW Sports Station, 105.3 The Fan. We have two brand new mock drafts for the Cowboys that have just come out from Mel Kiper and Daniel Jeremiah. Bobby, we'll bring it to you at 8:40 this morning. The Mavericks news yesterday, Anthony Davis is ramping up for his return.
No!
Going down, then back up with the Texas Legends to get in some conditioning work. Tim McMahon says there were discussions about shutting him down, but Anthony Davis wants to come back and play.
I'm hopeful that they're just doing this to avoid the forfeit. Like, because my assumption is that the forfeit will come with a financial penalty.
That's going to tick a lot of people off if he, like, would he have to, like, go out there for some minutes or no, just be active on the bench?
I guess he'd be active and just then not play.
You know, let's have Bobby Marks explain it real quick. This is ESPN basketball money guy Bobby Marks on the possibility of a Mavs forfeit.
If we get to the March 24th game as is, basically Dallas is going to be below the 8-player minimum requirement of active players here because Kessler Edwards basically will not be able to play. You cannot replace him with another two-way player. Remember, the deadline expired on March 4th. That goes away. I was texting with Shams last night, and I said, yeah, they can just replace him, and they'll buy 6 games. I'm like, no, wait a minute. I remember you can't, you know, you cannot replace a two-way with a two-way. We're past that stage right now. So if we get to March 24th, which is the Brooklyn game, or maybe if there's more injuries that are coming, God forsake, the Mavericks could be at a point where they would have to forfeit a game.
So I'm actually rooting for that to happen. We all want...
We love chaos.
We love chaos. And by the way, let me give props. You want to know how psycho Mavericks fans are? I think it was Friday night when people are like tweeting me about Dante Exum and like saying, oh my God. And I'm like, you're still watching? I'm going to sound like Charles Barkley here for a second. And I'm not going to care about admitting not watching something. Why are you watching? What are you doing? It's a Friday night. You are...
It's actually a train wreck.
You are diehard. No, a train wreck is entertaining. There's nothing entertaining out there for you to watch. Why are you watching Mavs basketball on a Friday night? Like, good for you, but you should immediately apply to Tim Collins and Gavin Spittle at 105 through the Fan at Odyssey. You deserve to have a job in sports because you love sports more than anyone else in the building. If you're still watching this, there's no reason. Yeah. If people are still, this is like, what's it called when you want to torture yourself? Sadistic?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was St. Paddy's Day weekend. Like, there were things to do out this weekend, and you were saying, nope, I'd rather sit here and watch the Dallas Mavericks.
The Mavericks. Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me?
I mean, look, I don't know.
Super impressive.
Yeah,
but
very impressive.
I'm not doing it.
No. I mean, you know, like, I feel bad. I honestly, like, they, because Cooperstein and Folliwell, they have, you know, and everyone that does the broad, they have the best job in the world. being a play-by-play guy, I think it's like such a tremendous job. And I feel bad for them. I feel bad for them. But they gotta try to hype it up. You know, it's just, yeah. It's tough.
Well, the Dallas Mavericks have given you an outlet to vent. There's now a hotline. We thought they were dodging us in terms of PR, not wanting to email back to have players and coaches on PJ Washington saying, shut it up, Mavs Tolos. Nope, we now have a Mavs hotline in order to address these issues.
In this life, good times are never guaranteed to last for long. In today's world, where anything short of perfection leads to viral infamy that can permanently destroy one's reputation, where will you turn for help? Dallas Mavericks Crisis PR. At Dallas Mavericks Crisis PR, we know a little bit about having to weather a storm. We'll provide you with strategies and solutions necessary to see it through to the other side. Made an unpopular decision that your consumers are pushing back against? We'll provide you with abusive language that will insult the intelligence of your base and help them to see the error of their ways. Dealing with a few bad apples who are poisoning the well? Our patented methods for silencing dissent have been used by the likes of Sean Diddy Combs, the Church of Scientology, and the People's Republic of China. Don't believe us? Well, I guess you're saying you know more than the third supreme leader of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, Kim Jong-un, who wrote in a testimonial, quote, "The Dallas Mavericks do things the right way. Don't go it alone. At the intersection of gaslighting and repealing the First Amendment, you'll find Dallas Mavericks Crisis PR."
The intersection of gaslighting and First Amendment rights. So.
See, that's why I call Dumont the gaslighter in chief.
They didn't need. They don't need any crisis PR because they've got it handled. They are the standard.
They got the standard down. All right. I'm not getting excited about this. I fell for it once already. The JFK files are supposed to come out today.
Yes, they are. They are releasing
80,000?
80,000 files tomorrow or today. Now it's today. And the amount of people that are going to have access to this, we're all going to have access, but the amount of people that are going to post on social media what this is. And by the way, okay, I already saw conspiracy theorists out there because there was an official John F. Kennedy Twitter account or something like that, and it is verified. What? And people are saying, is it really him? No, he really did die. We don't have to make everything into a conspiracy theory.
It's Damar Hamlin.
What's that?
It's Damar Hamlin not running it.
It was that done in a movie theater too, like the moon landing was? Like, we can believe certain things happened the way they happened. We don't have to have a conspiracy about it. But yeah, so President Trump announced that they're releasing everything, 80,000 files on the assassination. I'm prepared for a letdown.
Yeah.
I've got them.
How much is already redacted?
Yeah, I've got them. This is what they look like.
No, it's not.
That's not. But that's what they're going to look like. They're going to be redacted. It's going to be no words.
You know, and like even the statement he made, I mean, you could absolutely read this just like him. We have a tremendous amount of paper. You're going to do a lot of reading. And he said that I don't believe we're going to redact anything. That is a quote from Trump.
Really?
So we'll see.
Okay.
We'll find out.
Yeah. When are they supposed to be coming out?
They might already have been released. I haven't seen anything.
I was just looking for them. I didn't see them. But like, here's the thing. Even if they're not redacted, they're just going to have nothing in them that's of interest. That's what they're not going to put it. I have zero confidence that anything that's going to actually be there for us to read will be like, wow, what a smoking gun here. This.
Who's in charge of the redacting? Like, who are the secret ominous powers that be who still have the final say of, no, we're not going to let this get out? That's what I want to know.
My assumption is like FBI, CIA.
I thought we were trying to disband one of them or both of them.
I can't keep up. I don't
know. Are we defunding or something one of them? I don't know. I can't.
I think the CIA is the CIA was the one that rumored to have the most involvement. They were always at that because of their anger towards him with the Bay of Pigs. Like, that was my always impression.
I think all government agencies can redact to some extent. But yeah, on these specifically, I would imagine it's FBI, maybe DOJ.
I thought we were done with the hot drink lawsuits. I thought that was just a myth from back in the day. How will Jordan Schultz get his information after Starbucks coffee had to pay out $50 million to this man who had his genitals apparently burned off?
Ooh. Debilitating nerve damage to his tallywhacker. The driver was awarded $50 million.
$50 million.
He was a delivery driver, so it wasn't his coffee. So he's getting the coffee for somebody else.
And there's video of this too for you to judge yourself.
The reason that they were awarding him this is because when you see the video where she puts the drinks into the drink carrier.
Yeah.
One of the drinks was a little askew.
Yeah. Wasn't locked down in.
Wasn't locked down in. And he grabs it. It, you know, kind of hits a steering wheel and then falls right on his lap. Okay, maybe that's her fault.
All right, if you can never use it again, is that worth 50 million?
50 yes. million. I can never use that again? No. Yeah.
Here's what's amazing. Yeah. The most amazing thing about the story to me. Starbucks initially offered $3 million before the lawsuit went to trial. They eventually upped the offer to $30
million. I'll take it then and there.
Well, he did not. He said, okay, I'll take the $30 million, but there are conditions I'm adding. You have to apologize. You have to change your policies and issue a memo to stores telling them to double-check their hot drinks before handing them to customers. So this fool, well, I guess he's not a fool. I'm the fool for thinking wrong. He risked a $30 million payout because Starbucks said, no, we're not going to make those changes. And he ends up winning another $20 million more.
I'm stunned.
$30 million. He's like, no, on principle. Now, this is a Yahoo recap, Yahoo reputable, so I'm going to go ahead and trust it. But no, he came back and said, no, I'm not taking the $30 million because you won't tell every other store to up the safety net level.
So,
wow.
I got a question here. Was there a photo involved? Like, did Starbucks make, like, hey.
You got to be like, give me the doctor, bring him in, show me the photos. We got to see this thing mangled.
Right?
Nothing redacted. I need actual photos.
Nothing
there.
Redacted.
Yeah, they had to have taken a look at it.
Physical pain, mental anguish, loss of enjoyment of life, humiliation, inconvenience, grief, disfigurement, physical impairment, anxiety, and emotional stress. I'm sorry. Seriously, though, you think, how thin are your pants? You had to have shorts on. There's no way that if I get the scalding hot coffee jeans, and I spill it on my jeans, that is going to physically.
I wouldn't think so.
Permanent physical.
No, he's wearing like athletic shorts.
And he wasn't wearing underwear. That's right. It's got to be that. I don't know. When I look at this, I guess I'm sicker than all of you. I can't watch this video without like laughing.
But you see the look on his face.
He goes like, ah, and then just starts driving.
Yeah, why did he drive? That's the thing. His foot must have been over the accelerator. Yeah. He must not have been in park. He starts driving.
He just looks like he takes him and just goes, ah, thank you. And then just starts driving.
Yeah.
It just looks comical. It doesn't even look, I don't know. It looks like something out of like a slapstick movie or something.
Pepe, what are you ruling here after watching the video? What do you think?
A little dramatic.
$50 million. That's unfair.
That's a lot of money. And to turn down 30 at first and to risk that. No, they give me $1 million. I'm taking that. But yeah, I mean, I'd do it for $50 million though.
You'd give up.
You'd have no
relations
for the rest of your life.
You want kids though.
I can adopt some good ones for $50 million.
not IVF.
would Mackenzie give it up for $50
million? No.
See? You'd be alone.
Yeah, that was a flex. Yeah. He's like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That is disgusting.
He's nuts.
877-881-1053 to hit us up on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line here on Sean and RJ. We have Below the Belt on the Home of the Cowboys. Could a Texas Longhorn be making the trip north to the Star in Frisco? Bobby has it next. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Oh, get excited, Cowboys fans. We got NFL draft around the corner. You got a chance to either make your team better or to melt down and have a fit over the weekend if they pick a Michigan player, which is very possible, Jerry. That's my point. They got a couple different Michigan players they could pick this year. This is Below the Belt, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Plano, a first-class buying experience. We got a few new mock drafts out there. Mel Kiper has correctly picked the Cowboys a couple different times. Daniel Jeremiah has as well. They both have new mock drafts out. Would you like to start with DJ or Mel Kiper, Sean?
Kiper.
All right, let's go to Mel Kiper.
Mel Kiper Jr.
Mel Kiper's got some interesting stuff happening ahead of the Cowboys. So, number one pick for him, Tennessee Titans, Cam Ward, quarterback, Miami, kind of standard. He thinks the Browns then go with Abdul Carter. And Shedeur Sanders does not slide. Shedeur Sanders goes number three to the New York Giants. You get Travis Hunter to the Patriots at four. Number six, Ashton Jeanty gets snatched up by the Las Vegas Raiders. Here's the interesting one, and no one has said this yet. Number nine, the New Orleans Saints select Jackson Dart, quarterback, Ole Miss.
I like it.
There haven't been a ton of mocks that have Jackson Dart in the first round, much less ninth overall.
Yeah.
He says, here's the surprise pick. I know the Saints just restructured Derek Carr's contract to tie him to the team for at least one more season. But what happens after this season? New coach Kellen Moore might want a young quarterback to work with and develop over the course of 25 before turning the offense over to him in 2026. All right, so you get down to the Dallas Cowboys. Pick number 12. Do you remember who they picked last time?
Micah.
In Mel Kiper's mock.
Oh,
the second running back.
Omarion Hampton from North Carolina.
That's a sexy pick.
He projects Omarion Hampton, running back, North Carolina. He says, no change on my Cowboys pick projection from my last mock draft.
But Jeanty has gone to the Raiders.
Jeanty is gone. He says, no change on my pick from the last mock draft. Hampton actually firmed up his first round case at the combine, running a 4.46 40-yard dash and leaping 10 feet 10 inches in the broad jump. He is a home run hitter who could spark something in this Dallas running game, which has been dormant for the past two campaigns. Cowboys averaged 4 yards per carry over that time, tied for the fourth worst in the league.
By the way, 4 yards per carry seems like industry standard, and now it's fourth worst.
Yes.
Yeah, it used to be like the baseline of like, are you a good running back or not? So even after signing Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders to low-risk deals, I still think the Cowboys could draft Hampton. He's the kind of difference maker they need at the position. He rushed for 3,164 yards and 30 touchdowns over the past two seasons. And look, if they are going to take a running back, it's going to be a home run hitter. Like, they're going to want a long speed, like, dynamic type of running back, because Javonte Williams that's a bruiser. That's like a bowling ball running back. You know, Miles Sanders is not quite to the level of Javonte Williams in that sense, but I mean, he's also kind of a physical runner. But Omarion Hampton to the Cowboys there at number 12, and that is with Will Campbell, the top offensive lineman in the draft for a lot of people, on the board and going to the Dolphins the pick after. That's with Tetaroa McMillan, the top receiver in the draft, to me, going 20 to the Broncos.
You would not be happy with that, right?
Nope.
With this?
Nope.
I would take if Campbell's available.
I would take Will Campbell or Tetaroa McMillan. Will Johnson, cornerback, Michigan. They could use a corner. He would be one of the top players available. Michigan. He was on the board. In fact, over at the 33rd team, Kyle Krabs had his latest mock draft, and he had the Cowboys taking Will Campbell at 12, following them. Which, if that were to happen, if he were to fall to that range, that would be unexpected from what we've seen the last couple months. Will Campbell generally has been thought of as, all right, this is, if not the number one lineman, he's like number two, but that's a top 10 player. He could be gone number four overall to the Patriots. Like, that's the kind of player that he's typically been thought of. And he would be a plug and play, here's your Zach Martin replacement.
I will say this. Oh, so you move him in then?
Yeah, he's got shorter arms. A lot of people think he's a guard at the next level.
All right. The Cowboys, my one hesitation with if they were to pass on him or any offensive lineman is that the Cowboys, I believe, better than anybody else, grade and evaluate offensive linemen in the National Football League. They are the best at it.
They've been really good.
And if they don't think that he is worth the pick, I'm not going to fight them. I'm not going to fight them on it. They've earned that trust, I think.
Okay.
And the only reason why, you know, and with Guyton, I mean, he was like the seventh one taken. Right? They were just at the end of the line.
Well, is he the seventh lineman taken?
It was a heavy lineman draft last year. Although here's the depth of the class this year. Dane Brugler had said if Tyler Guyton was in this class, he might be the second offensive lineman off the board. Like, he might have been next after Will Campbell. Some people may have viewed him as near the top. And so you're talking about Guyton could have gone in this class with how thin it is, could have gone top 15 instead of 27 or wherever he went.
So is Campbell the offensive lineman that's like 6'3 at a tackle?
No. That's Armon Membu from
So he's just got the short arms.
Campbell's got really short arms. A lot of teams just think he's going to be, they think he's going to be a guard kick inside. Now over at Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft, top four are the exact same for Daniel Jeremiah that they are for Mel Kiper. So Cam Ward, Abdul Carter, Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter. After that, fills in a little differently. I mean, he's still got Raiders taking Genty at 6. But when it gets around to the Cowboys at pick 12, Will Campbell is off the board, the offensive lineman. He's not available to you there. Tet McMillan is the receiver from Arizona, who yesterday ran a 4.48 at 6'5 and 220 pounds or whatever.
Do we believe that?
Yes.
There's no video of it, though, right?
No, but that's his speed. That's the kind of speed that they were anticipating with him. They do take a receiver, the Cowboys, at number 12. So they get their number 2 receiver. It is not Tet McMillan, though, even though he's on the board. It is my third of 3 receivers that I have a first-round grade on this year. It's Matthew Golden, the receiver from Texas. He says, with Ashton Genty off the board, and this is making me a little ill, I wouldn't rule out North Carolina running back Omarion Hampton landing here, says Daniel Jeremiah. In this case, the Cowboys give CeeDee Lamb a partner who can take the top off the defense and is more than just a speed threat.
Pepe, you started doing some convulsions or something back there when you heard Golden. You're a Longhorn fan. What would you think?
I mean, I'm biased, but I take him, obviously. I mean, I don't know where he ranks among the greatest. You know, again, I'm biased. He had a great second half of the season, but for a full season guy, I'm not so sure. I don't think I'd take him first round.
So we haven't talked about Matthew Golden, I don't think, on the maybe G-Bag has mentioned him before, but we haven't talked about Matthew Golden anywhere else, I don't think, on the station. So what I have on him is he is a first round receiver to me. He was blazing speed at the combine. He ran 4.29. But he's not just it's not just speed with him. He's body control, spatial awareness. Those things consistently stand out. He does have kind of a alpha mentality that you want when you're standing out there on that island and just, all right, it's mano a mano, and I've got to have a certain dog mentality. He's got that. He's got the demeanor to be out there. High ceiling traits as a route runner. The vertical speed's great. The stop-start quickness is great. Smooth lateral agility. Hands are fantastic. Finishes the catch through contact. So when you look at all that, you're like, okay, well, then what's the problem? Well, he wins on traits. He's not a polished route runner. Like right now, he's just winning because he's a physical freak. He's fast. He's got great stop-start quickness, all that. There are some concerns, and I know this is one that you always hate to hear thrown out whenever you're talking about a receiver. There are inconsistencies with effort, it feels like, and focus. There are times that when you watch him running routes where maybe he feels like, all right, not going my way, I'm just going to take this off. Or maybe he's a little more lazy in the way that he's running his route. They're going to have to feel good about what kind of a worker is he? What kind of a player can they tap into? Can they get that effort out of him? Can they bring him up a level? Can they do different things like that? If they can, then great. He's going to be a really good player if they can do that. The comp for him I have, and it's not off the field, it's strictly what he was as a player. The player he reminds me of is Henry Ruggs. And so Henry Ruggs obviously now is in prison for something completely different, not relating to football. But as a player, prospect coming out.
Burn. Mm-hmm. He was the fastest, right?
Yeah, and he was Ruggs went 12. This is right around where Henry Ruggs went with the Raiders.
I thought you were going to bring up a different Texas Longhorn to the Dallas Cowboys, as Ian Rappaport maybe was hinting at last night on the NFL Network.
This to me says the Cowboys are going to go quarterback in the draft, and I wonder how high are they going to go. Right, like I would be surprised at this point if they take a quarterback in the first round. I think everybody would. But what if it's someone like, I don't know, Quinn Ewers in the second round, right? A quarterback who's really talented, who they know well, right? Who might not have to play for a couple years, but in 3 years might end up being someone who's certainly talented enough to be the starting quarterback. How high do they go, right? Because if you're going to wait to the 5th or 6th or 7th round, you don't know what kind of backup quarterback you're getting. And honestly, by then, they may all be gone. This, at least to me, means the Cowboys are considering taking one, if not Thursday, maybe on Friday. And then you're talking about some household names. And then you're talking about some really, really talented quarterbacks. And that, to me, is where it all gets fascinating for the Cowboys. So, yes, Cooper Rush going to the Baltimore Ravens is sort of like somewhat interesting. Where the Cowboys go next and how high they go next at quarterback is going to be intriguing moving forward.
What did he say? If not Thursday?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, did he say if not Thursday for a quarterback?
Play that. Go back to like the last 15 seconds of that.
By the way, Mike Fisher yesterday said that they are targeting Quinn Ewers.
Oh, somebody else
taking
has to
one,
that.
If not Thursday, maybe on Friday, and then you're talking about some household names.
Thursday is the first round of the draft.
I mean, I have a humongous problem if they took Quinn Ewers on Friday, because I don't think Quinn Ewers is good.
So there's a lot of split on Ewers. There are some people who think Ewers is like a second round quarterback. I know that I've talked to two different evaluators, not in Dallas. One said they thought he was a second round player, and somebody else said they wouldn't draft him.
Whoa.
This actually would fit their second round strategy. Because their second round strategy is a gamble. It's either an injured player, it is an off the field kind of question mark player, or
But Quinn doesn't have either of those.
No, but this would be a gamble in its own. You're just gambling. You're taking a value because the position has the value. The player doesn't necessarily have the value. That's why Jackson Dart is a smart value pick for the Saints or whoever at 9. He literally is a dart.
I can't shake what he just said, because here's the thing. Maybe he's intending to say maybe not Thursday. Maybe not. They wouldn't take one Thursday necessarily. But to say if not Thursday, that sounds like, the earliest it could happen is potentially Thursday.
Right.
In what sense? 12? Like if Shador slides, are you telling me that? Or are you saying if they trade back into the first round, if they like somebody? Ian's got a good beat on the guy. Ian was all over Micah connection way before anybody else was with Dallas. And was on top of that the whole time, said, watch Micah, watch Micah, watch Micah. Nobody was projecting Micah to the Cowboys before that draft.
Forget the 20 years after. But in 2006, when Rodgers fell to the Packers, were they right in the moment? Did you think they were right to take him? Or 05?
No.
I didn't know how long Favre was going to go. So I get it if they thought Favre was going to be out in the next year or two. They pushed him out.
Because everybody had him in their in their top 10. He was a very, very high pick, and he just fell for a lot of reasons. And they were like, well, shoot, man, we weren't going to take him, but now we kind of have to. And they set themselves up.
Comparing yours to Aaron Rodgers?
No. I'm just saying, Shador slides.
Right.
And the Cowboys had no plans of taking a quarterback at 12, but you get a guy that everybody's, thinking higher, 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 and he slides. You may lose the initial deal, but draft pick, but you set yourself up for the next 15 years.
On the fan text, the 641 says Ewers getting drafted in the second round would be nearly as bad as trading Luka away. 817, a Longhorns fan here. I love my Longhorns, but I don't want him as my quarterback for the Cowboys. And the 972 says Jerry will take Ewers just for the jersey sales.
Below the belt on the home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. One more hour to go on a Tolo Tuesday. How are you escaping work for the rest of the week with the madness about to begin? Next on The Fan. But let me go ahead and get you the place to be inside the globe for the start of baseball season. We had the first official game today, and the Texas Rangers are coming your way. The official barbecue of the Texas Rangers is Hurtado. Hurtado, proud to serve as that official partner. And I watched John Gray a couple of years ago. Was it last year? I don't know. I get lost in time. I saw John Gray trim a brisket along with Mike Bassick. Josh Young has stopped by. Evan Carter as well. They are making the Arlington spot their place to be. My new one is the Farmers Market location in Dallas. You got Mansfield and you have Fort Worth as well. And two spots inside the globe. Just look for the line and smell that amazing smoke. And just like the Rangers, they're bringing their A game every day, serving up the best Tex-Mex barbecue in DFW. So whether you're catching a game at the ballpark or visiting one of the locations, you're guaranteed a championship-worthy meal. Go taste the difference that earned them all the barbecue honors and join the ranks of the satisfied Tolos. Tell them Sean for the Fan sent you today for lunch or dinner at Hurtado. And skip the line, get in your catering orders as well at HurtadoBBQ.com.